My name is John Walden. You're welcome to our Bible study. We're in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The word therefore, of course, connects us with what has been said, and we saw in our last study that the closing part of chapter 4 takes up this matter of our relationship to the Lord and contrasts the two wives of Abraham, a free woman and a slave girl. And he tells us that those who are keeping the law or trying to do so for salvation are the children of the slave girl, while we who believe the gospel of the grace of God are the children of the free. Now, on the basis of this explanation, he says, "Stand fast. Therefore, because of what I've told you, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." This liberty cost us so much. Rather, it cost the Lord Jesus so much. This is such expensive liberty. This is such costly liberty that he says, don't give it up. Stand fast in this liberty. Now, liberty is not license. Never think of liberty as meaning that you can do as you please. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, they had perfect liberty. But that didn't mean that they could do as they pleased. No Christian would ever say, well, I can do anything I want to do now. Certainly our salvation is eternal. But this is not liberty. This is license when you talk about doing as you please, talk about living like the people who are not saved. The law-keeping here is the bondage that he's talking about. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage or slavery. All law-keeping is slavery. If you are doing what you're doing because you're afraid, because you feel that you must, then this is slavery. Now, these Galatians had been in slavery. Chapter 4 and verse 8 told us they were one time slaves to idols. They had not been slaves to Judaism because they were not Jews by nature. They were Gentiles, but they had been slaves. So he said, why do you want to go back into slavery again? Behold, I, Paul, that is, I as an apostle, speak with authority. Three times in his epistles he uses this. I say to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, returning to Judaism annuls the work of Christ in spirit. That is, Christ must be everything or he's nothing. You can't say that you're saved partly by grace and partly by works, because in the book of Romans he tells us plainly that they won't mix. If you accept the premise that the mark of the law is necessary for your salvation, whether that mark of the law be circumcision or Sabbath keeping or whatever it is, if you say, my salvation depends upon my faithfulness in keeping the law or keeping some set of rules, then you are setting Christ aside. Now, to fall from grace, that he's referring to here in verse 4, is not to be lost again. He isn't talking about what we're depending upon for salvation. He's simply saying that when you take the lower stand of law-keeping, that you've turned away. The word is literally fallen away from grace. First of all, any person who goes back to law-keeping has taken a much lower standard than grace ever gave him. The law said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But the Lord Jesus said, if one smites you on one cheek, turn again the other. The law said, if you kill a man, that's murder. The Lord Jesus said, if you hate anyone, that's murder. So you see, the Lord's standard was much higher than that of Old Testament law. But not only is there danger of a Christian going down to the lower standard of law-keeping, but there is a great danger that those who hear the gospel will turn away from the gospel and turn away from the grace of God and turn to legality. We through the Spirit, he tells us in verse 5, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, this hope for righteousness in verse 5 is not the righteousness of justification. That's already been settled. This is the practical section of Galatians chapters 5 and 6. And here he's talking about the practical effects. You see, when you received Christ as your Savior, you were made right with God. But then the Holy Spirit came in, and this was introduced in the fourth chapter. The Holy Spirit came in order that he might make of us righteous people. Now we who are believers know that God does this by grace. It isn't anything of ourselves at all. The hope for righteousness then here is the righteousness of the life of a believer. Notice that he is not interested in externals. That's in verse 6. In Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. He is not interested in externals. He's interested in the heart's love, serving willingly. You see, faith works. It isn't that you have to have works to go with your faith in order to save you. But if you have true faith, it will prove itself, as James tells us, in work. Anyone who is truly trusting the Lord will show it in his love for the Lord, his love for his people, and love for souls. Faith worketh by love. Now verses 7 to 12 takes up this matter of the hindrance that's come to them. Earlier we saw that the apostle said that they were hypnotized or bewitched. Now he says, you did run well. Who did hinder you or cut in on you? What happened that you didn't go on well for the Lord? And then he returns again to mention that it is this false teaching. Some people came in with legal teaching. Dr. H.A. Ironside says that he believes that 3/4 of the Christians in the United States are tainted with legality in some form or another. And this is a hindrance to us. Christians are not going on for the Lord well just because we are doing what we do because we have to and not because we love the Lord. He says this persuasion of legality comes not of him that called you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, leaven in the Bible is never good. It never stands for the gospel. It never stands for salvation. Leaven is always something evil, and usually false teaching, evil teaching. Just like yeast can go all through the flour and the bread, so false teaching can go through a person's life and through a church until the whole thing is spoiled. Now he said, I have confidence in you through the Lord. His confidence was not in what they might do, but in what the Lord might do through them. And he says that he knows that those who trouble them will bear their judgment, whoever they be. And he points out that he is suffering persecution. That proves that these people are not real, not right, or they wouldn't be persecuting the Apostle Paul. And then he adds, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. Nothing is too strong to say about those who are teaching false doctrine. In the very first chapter, he said that even if an angel from heaven preached any other gospel than that which had been preached to them, that he should be accursed. And at verse 13, he says, Now, brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. This is what I mentioned back at the beginning of this chapter. We have liberty, but this is not license. This does not say that we're to use it for the flesh. What shall we do with our liberty? By love, serve one another. A person who has perfect liberty is a person who wants to serve. Now, why is this? Well, because of love. You see, a woman may be hired to be a housekeeper, and then the man who hired her may ask her hand in marriage. He may marry her. And when she becomes his wife, does that mean that she'll be any less of a housekeeper? Well, not if she's the right kind of a woman. But she's doing it now for a different reason. She isn't working for him now for money. She's serving him by love. And I don't know anyone who works harder than a good housewife and a good mother. She puts in longer hours for less recompense. And she does it gladly. She is at liberty. But she serves by love. Now, all the law is fulfilled in one word, he says in verse 14, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When the Lord Jesus summed up the whole law, this is the word that he used. So, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the way that God has for Christians to live to please him. In other words, he doesn't put a fence around us, but he puts a new desire within us. The Jews had a fence around them, but they broke through that fence constantly. But now you and I, as children of God, have a new want-to, as a little boy called it, a new desire within ourselves. The Lord has made us his own, and by love, we should be glad for the opportunity of serving any and all whomever we may. In contrast to this, in verse 15, he says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." This is the very opposite of love. This is the selfishness that is natural to the human heart. Just as animals are selfish and grab for things and even bite each other in their attempt to keep things for themselves, this is common to human nature. Dog eat dog, we call it. But God says love lifts us above this and makes us serve the Lord because we love him. Do you know the Lord Jesus this way? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Do you believe in his precious shed blood shed for you at Calvary? Then thank him and live for him. Father, bless thy word to us. Save the lost, we pray thee, and help thy dear children to serve by love. In the name of thy Son, we pray. Amen.